Well, thank you, Rich, and thank you to all of you for being here. We had a really good turnout at last year's all-faculty meeting, and that can sometimes be attributed to first-time curiosity, and we weren't sure if anyone would come again, especially with as much rain as we had this morning. It's inspiring to see you all here. One of the reasons we wanted to do this again was because there's just power in being together, in gathering together. And it's been a great year at the university, academically, spiritually, and in many respects. And we wanted, in a way, to come together to celebrate that. Now, you know you've been in administration too long when nothing spells celebration like a three-hour meeting. And there are so many individual accolades and triumphs that we've had this year. And I've been blessed to see some of you at close quarters. I was able to meet up with two different study abroad groups this semester and to see at close range the devotion and the mentoring that is poured out upon our students from our devoted faculty. And there are a lot of metrics we could cite to show the progress that we're making and the good things that have happened. And I just want to highlight two numbers. If I'm told that if I push this clicker, it will work. So here goes. So President Reese showed this graph at commencement, and I just want to take a moment to let it sink in for a minute. So this is drawn from our senior exit survey, where graduating seniors are asked, did your time at BYU build your faith in Jesus Christ? And did your time at BYU strengthen your testimony of living prophets and apostles? As you see from the chart, it begins in 2023. Prior to 2023, we asked a slightly different version of the question, but on that first question of building faith in Jesus Christ, the 2022 total for a slightly different question was 73%, gave a positive response. So across 5 years, we've gone from 73% to 78% to 83% to 87% to 91% in this most recent survey. Just think of that for a moment. We've gone in 5 years from having about 27% of our students say that their BYU experience did not meaningfully affect their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to 91%, or to 9%. So there are only a third as many students, if you want to think of it this way, that we haven't reached. And you can look at that and think that is amazing, steady, progressive growth, especially for an institution this size. What I want to emphasize is that growth gets harder each year. This past year, so the first year, when you're getting 5% growth, when there are 27% that you're not reaching, that's impressive. But when you get 4% growth out of a residual of 13%, that's pretty astonishing. There's not very many more years when we can have growth like that. And a lot of people wouldn't think that that's possible. And we see similar growth, a similar trajectory with respect to the students' testimony of living prophets and apostles. If anything, the growth is a little bit faster there. So can we just take a moment and applaud this and savor this? Each of you have played a fundamental role in that growth. Now, I want to emphasize that this growth in our spiritual mission does not come at the cost of our academic mission. In fact, I don't even really like talking about our spiritual mission and our academic mission as though they were different things, as though we could somehow separate them. The entire premise of this university is integrating them both. But I just want to cite one other metric from the senior exit survey. This is actually from our recent graduate survey, so we don't have the 2026 data yet. But these are the percentage of students who thought that their time at BYU prepared them well for graduate school or prepared them well for employment. Now, you don't see the same kind of growth for the simple reason that there's not really room for growth on these metrics. But we still have virtually every student saying that they were prepared well for graduate school and they were prepared well for employment. And I don't really have any commentary on this other than to say thank you and congratulations. There are some who might suggest that BYU is drifting from its spiritual mission, some who might suggest that it's retreating from our academic mission. And both claims, in Jeremy Bentham's phrase, are nonsense on stilts. We are resolutely committed to our double heritage and to growing and improving and becoming the BYU of prophecy. So thank you for the tremendous effort that's gone into these really remarkable metrics. This past fall, my University 101 students and I began each class by standing and reciting two core declarations from our founding documents. The mission of Brigham Young University, we declaimed, founded, supported, and guided by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is to assist individuals in their quest for perfection and eternal life. A BYU education should be spiritually strengthening, intellectually enlarging, and character building, leading to lifelong learning and service. These declarations form the heart of our mission and aims. Each is grounded in what I call the doctrine of becoming. Our central concern on this campus is the formation of souls, what President Spencer W. Kimball called education for eternity. This morning, I hope to connect that core ambition to the peril and the promise of generative AI, and to the pressing question of our generation. How do we ensure that generative AI serves student becoming rather than displacing it? To help answer that question, I want to explore the doctrine of becoming and outline four principles that I believe should guide our use of AI on this campus. Then, after a brief preview of the rest of our program, I will conclude by sharing why I believe we should approach this disruptive and destabilizing new era with optimism and resolve, with courage and faith. Although our focus this morning is on AI, our deeper purpose, as always, is to strive toward becoming BYU by helping our students become the people God intends them to become. In his final General Conference message, President Russell M. Nelson declared, "The great opportunity before us is to become the people God needs us to be." At this university, we strive to help our students become the people God needs them to be. That, in the end, is the overriding objective of becoming BYU. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that before the creation or the fall or even the council in heaven, God himself, finding himself in the midst of spirits and glory, because he was greater, saw proper to institute laws whereby the rest could have the privilege to advance like himself. Our Father's plan empowers his children to become like him. It is not enough, President Dallin H. Oaks has taught, for us to be convinced of the gospel. We must act and think so that we are converted by it. In contrast to the institutions of the world, which teach us to know something, the gospel of Jesus Christ challenges us to become something. And again, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the plan by which we can become what children of God are supposed to become. As we strive toward becoming BYU institutionally, let us also help our students strive to become at BYU individually. Their time here should refine, convert, and sanctify them. It should strengthen their spirits, enlarge their intellects, build their characters, and propel their lifelong learning and service. Their time at BYU should help them become the people God needs them to be. This overriding purpose raises an inescapable question. What happens to becoming in an age when machines can simulate knowing? Now, we should be candid about what is at stake. The rise of AI raises real academic risks, risks that cognitive capacity might atrophy or original thinking erode, risks of invalidated assessments or unmanageable demands on faculty time. These are not abstract worries. They are real pressures already felt in our classrooms and in our disciplines. They deserve to be clearly acknowledged and thoughtfully addressed. And yet, real as these risks are, they must be met with resolution, not resignation, hardihood, not hand-wringing. We must respond not by retreating from our mission, but by leaning ever more deliberately into it. The doctrine of becoming and the principles that flow from it can help us meet these risks with clarity and confidence. This morning, I will emphasize four enduring principles that can guide our approach. The principles are agency, accountability, work, and revelation. Theologically as well as pedagogically, agency comes first. Our mission and aims invite us to activate and honor the agency of our students. AI can either amplify that effort or quietly erode it. Elder David A. Bednar has warned that AI can create a potentially beguiling, addictive, and suffocating influence on the exercise of our moral agency. President Reese has similarly cautioned that our use of AI must be agency-enhancing rather than agency-reducing. Maximizing learners' agency has always been central to good pedagogy. In the age of AI, we must defend that principle with increased clarity and creativity. We must help students learn to choose wisely, not just prompt efficiently. Agency has a companion principle, accountability. Students need to be transparent about and accountable for their use of AI. And faculty need to be crystal clear about what uses of AI are permitted or not permitted in our classes. Students should never need to wonder whether their use of AI constitutes cheating. We need to let them know with all the clarity we can muster. Syllabi must name permitted uses, and assignments must define them. If you came this morning expecting a university policy on AI, here's a concise one. Every class on this campus should have a clearly articulated AI policy, whatever you decide that policy should be. Departments and colleges might consider unit-wide AI policies. Agency and accountability both require work. 2 years ago, Elder Bednar counseled our students not to allow the supposed accuracy, speed, and ease of modern technologies to avoid or circumvent the righteous work that invites into your life the blessings you will need. We must help our students heed this apostolic counsel. None of the aims of a BYU education can be achieved without work. We must guide our students toward the kind of work that shapes the soul. We must design assignments that require such sanctifying labor. Elder Bednar has linked the principles of agency and work to the doctrine of becoming. Quote, "We undoubtedly can generate and produce fabulous content with AI, but the objective is not merely producing or presenting impressive content. Rather, it is working and becoming what God intends and yearns for us to become." End of quote. Students don't go to the gym hoping a machine will lift the weights for them. Nor do they come to the university hoping that AI models will spare them the gritty toil of intellectual strain. They want to use AI as a spotter, not a substitute. The temptation to use AI as a substitute will decrease as students see assignments as meaningfully connected to their spiritual, intellectual, and character development. Our students want to stretch, and they want to grow. We too will need to stretch and grow as we revamp assignments and assessments, courses and curricula, to invite diligent work in the age of AI. But this faculty is more than equal to that task. Finally, AI will intensify the need for revelation in our work. Brigham Young's charge not to teach even the alphabet or the multiplication tables without the Spirit of God will apply with ever greater force. The Holy Ghost sanctifies and revelation refines. When we teach and learn by the Spirit, we do not merely learn more. We learn in ways that transform hearts, shape souls, and invite becoming. Artificial intelligence, said Elder Garrett W. Gong, cannot replace revelation or generate truth from God. We have the responsibility to ensure that the Holy Ghost can attest to the truth and authenticity of all we say and share. End of quote. This applies to both our teaching and our scholarship at BYU. With revelation as our guide, we can use AI to elevate our scholarship and teaching beyond anything we can presently imagine. To that end, we must cultivate and help our students to cultivate the skill and the gift of discernment. It will not be enough to impart knowledge. We must instill virtue. It will not be enough to track trends. We must learn to become wise. May heaven bless us all with wisdom to apply principles of agency, accountability, work, and revelation as we strive in the age of AI to advance our mission and aims. In the remainder of this program, you will hear from several faculty colleagues who are doing just that. The purpose of their presentations is not to prescribe solutions, but to describe experiments. You will be hearing about the journeys of a few early adopters who are striving to use AI in ways aligned with our deepest aims. Natalie Hancock from the School of Family Life will describe how she has used AI to align her assessments with her learning outcomes and to infuse those learning outcomes with the aims of a BYU education. David Wingate from the Computer Science Department will outline his efforts to lift students' spiritual sight toward employing AI to bless, strengthen, and empower our Heavenly Father's most vulnerable children. Jared Halverson from Ancient Scripture will share how he uses AI to enlarge his students' intellects through personally tailored instruction and assignments. Brian Jackson from the English Department will address an urgent academic challenge of this new era: what we should do about writing. Along the way, Brian will relate his efforts to build students' character through assignments that require them to braid AI writing with their own and to reflect deeply about the process. Tennille Cannon from Math Education will narrate how she helps students use AI to prepare them for lifelong learning and service. And finally, David Wood from the School of Accountancy will illuminate in real time some of the exciting pedagogical possibilities of generative AI. I am immensely grateful to these outstanding colleagues for their efforts to use AI intentionally to help our students become the people God needs them to be, and for their willingness to share with the rest of us what they have tried and what they have learned. At the end of our session, we'll be blessed to hear concluding remarks from President Reese. I should say that he'll be arriving a little bit late because he's currently with our new students for spring term new student orientation. It's hard to keep him away from students. Now, throughout the history of our people, prophets and apostles have reiterated that technological development is part of the Lord hastening his work in the latter days. Elder Bednar has taught that, quote, miraculous innovations and inventions have enabled and accelerated God's work of salvation and exaltation, end of quote. The Lord's servants are keenly aware of the challenges posed by such technologies, but they have remained optimistic and they have emphasized opportunities. A quarter century ago, President Dallin H. Oaks warned of various pitfalls and distractions associated with the rising dominance of the internet. But he then added, I hope that these cautions on the need for focus will not be understood as hostile to selective use of the new technology that has put such a wealth of information at our fingertips. In this, President Oaks continued, I echo Brigham Young, who declared, every discovery in science and art that is really true and useful to mankind has been given by direct revelation from God. We should take advantage of all these great discoveries and prepare the rising generation to step forward and efficiently do their part in the great work, end of quote. Our approach to AI needs to be balanced and measured, neither giddy nor alarmist, in Elder Gong's words. We should not be afraid of or attempt to hide from AI, said Elder Bednar, but we should be aware of and guard against its perils. We need to be clear-eyed about the risks and optimistic about the possibilities. We need to cultivate temperance and exercise faith. My invitation this morning is for faith, hope, and charity as we face an uncertain future. I don't believe that anyone really knows what the future course of AI's development will look like. Some things we can predict with confidence, such as that AI is here to stay and that it will transform research and writing, teaching and mentoring, collaborative and creative work in deep and enduring ways. But many things remain mere guesswork and speculation. But there are some things we do know. We know that it is the destiny of Brigham Young University to become what past and present prophets knew it could become. We know that with the consecration and leadership of this community, BYU will become the great university of the Lord, not in the world's way, but in the Lord's way. We know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will roll forward in majesty and power until it fills the entire world. We know that the Savior will one day return to earth to rule as King of Kings and reign as Lord of Lords, as every knee shall bend and every tongue shall speak in worship before him. Friends and colleagues, I do not believe that the Lord restored his church and established this university only to have them fail at the hands of an emergent technology. I do not believe that God's purposes and plan can be thwarted by a man-made tool. What I do believe is that with the Lord's help, these tools can be harnessed to advance our mission to help our students become the people God needs them to be. I believe that with the best efforts of our faculty and with the inspiration of heaven, we can use AI to extend our reach, enrich our teaching, and increase our capacity to assist our students and others in their quest for perfection and eternal life. The revelations foretell a time to come in which nothing shall be withheld. I believe that AI can help us hasten and steward this promised flood of light. I have faith that in the hands of this faculty, AI will not replace the work of becoming. It will focus and accelerate it. Yes, there are challenges ahead, deep and vexing and hard. Let us meet them with faith. Let us be hopeful. Let us be optimistic. Let us be of good cheer. We get to choose how we respond. May we choose to use AI to advance our mission and our aims. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.